I just want to thank all of you for your support of this very important and successful project, and I know it's going to do really good things for downtown and for the region.
Well, I want to underscore the fact that when more money was needed, you and this private sector effort went back to business owners to ask them to pay more, to see that the project really, the vision for the project was fully completed, and that's worth reiterating and thanking you personally and the group that you led for doing that. It's really amazing.
Thank you.
Mr. Oblitz.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Doug Oblitz, speaking today based on 6 years of experience with this project, serving as the Portland Mall Revitalization Project Manager for TriMet and the city. And during this time, my principal task has been to serve as the bridge between the design and construction team and the downtown business community and property owners. In short, my job has been to assure that the project was built, was designed and constructed in keeping with the overarching goals for the project and consistent with the various agreements between the city, TriMet, and the property owners that contributed $22 million towards this $220 million project. In two separate actions by the council in 2004 and 2006, downtown property owners agreed to shoulder a significant portion of the project costs. They did this with the understanding that the project would be extended by about one-third, that there would be a number of substantial changes made to the original mall, and that the revitalization effort would be premised on investments in the infamous three-legged stool of infrastructure, development, and proactive management. Success has been achieved on all three points. With regard to infrastructure, the mall has been extended all the way up to PSU, has been reconstructed from top to bottom with a continuous auto lane from PSU to Union Station, and has new traffic signals, street lights, transit shelters, signage, all as originally promised. On the development front, Scott's already alluded to the block-by-block program, but other initiatives through PDC and TriMet have brought major building renovations and new projects to the mall, including the renovated Macy's store and the Nines Hotel, the new PSU Student Recreation Center, and the new Embassy Suites Hotel at 6th and Oak, which are just three examples of the new buildings that have been built along the mall. What is particularly gratifying today is to see scaffolding up on no less than six buildings along the mall where property owners on their own initiative are beginning to make improvements to their building in response to their upgraded street. And on the management front, the council recently approved contracts with TriMet and the business community for a $3.5 million stewardship program led by Scott and Portland Mall Management, Inc. that will assure that the mall doesn't fall into the same state of disrepair as the original mall. The 2006 amendment to the 2004 LID ordinance was really the linchpin that assured a great project. For an additional $3 million LID contribution from property owners, which was matched by additional funds from the City of Portland and TriMet, almost $15 million in project upgrades were added to the base project. And these upgrades were things that the business community felt were essential to make a truly great project. And I just want to list off some of those improvements very quickly for you, because these are things that were not in the original project. They included 35 new sunset brick intersections from Burnside to Market Street, new brick sidewalks on three additional blocks of 5th and 6th Avenues between Madison and Market, a closed-circuit television system for the bus stops and light rail stations, new transit tracker screens which provide real-time transit arrival information for bus and transit patrons, almost $2 million in sidewalk renovation work for the existing sidewalks along the mall, improved street lighting, additional artwork in the North Mall, full pavement overlay in the South Mall, the special paving treatment in front of Pioneer Courthouse and Pioneer Square that connects those two buildings together, additional tree grates and tree trimming, and enhanced bicycle facilities, including five new bicycle oases, and replacement of the trash receptacles and street furniture rather than the original plan for refurbishment. In short, a number of the most visible improvements that served to define the new Portland Mall resulted from the leadership and the pocketbooks of the property owners throughout downtown. For someone that has worked on a project for so long, the completion last month was somewhat anticlimactic. But I have to tell you, it's wonderful to see people returning to the mall, to see the buses, trains, bikers, and autos all coexisting quite successfully, and to see how property owners are exhibiting newfound pride in their buildings and their front door. I've received numerous emails and calls from business and property owners saying that how much they like the new artwork, the new intersections, and the great new accessibility that light rail is providing along the spine of downtown. In the end, however, there never would have been a Portland Mall revitalization project without the commitment, the financial commitment, of over 1,100 property owners in the downtown. Thank you.
Thank you. And Doug, you, like Teresa, have fortified your well-deserved reputation for superior project management.
Thank you.
There were just so many moving parts on this project, and the coordination that you provided, and Teresa as well, I want to thank you for. Questions from council? Comment from council. It'll move to vote next week.
So I wanted to thank you all for your work on this project, and particularly Teresa Boyle. The ordinance was absolutely outstanding in terms of setting out all the details of what happened when, and also thank Mayor Adams.
High praise indeed.
Well, and Mayor Adams and Director Sukiel are also very helpful to me and my staff to make sure we get all the information ahead of time, so thank you. I also wanted to pull out from the information we were given that about 75% of the assessments are less than what was estimated in 2006, and that's primarily because of the nearly $1 billion in new development in the district, which takes an increased proportion of the cost due to the increase in real market value. So this is evidence that the revitalization strategy is indeed doing what it's hoping to do. And finally, I wanted to commend the TriMet drivers, who I am absolutely overwhelmed with about how good the bus drivers and the train drivers are doing a very good job, and to urge the citizens to make sure that we understand which lanes we can use, which ones we can't, that you're going to get a big ticket if you do park it or stop in the one driving lane, and also bicyclists need to make sure that they understand the rules, because it really matters even more these days, because it is a very complicated system and we all need to be very much aware that when we choose to drive downtown, which hopefully most people don't, that we have to be especially careful. So thank you for all your work on this.
Thank you. Also, before you leave, I just noticed that Rob Bernard, who used to work for the Bureau of Transportation, I'm not bitter, and Neil McFarland, who now oversaw this project for TriMet, are in the room as well. And thank you for your superior project management as well. On time, on budget. Right on. Thanks. Let's move to a second reading.
We have testimony.
Any testimony?
Philip Calbearer.
Sorry, Mr. Calbearer. Welcome. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Mayor, Commission, I'm Phil Calbert, president of Calbert Company, a family business that has owned property and had business in downtown Portland for over 65 years. I'm also the chair of the PBA Central City Committee on the executive committee of PMMI. But what I really want to talk to you about is my role as the chair of the Citizens Advisory Committee for the Downtown Light Rail Project. It's been a long and arduous project. Business owners actually downtown were talking about the revitalization of the mall in the 80s, and we're really hoping that the South North Light Rail would take care of the problem. Obviously, it did not. The Citizens Advisory Committee has been in existence for over 6.5 years. And what we have now, after all the frustration and all the time spent, we really have a true, not only transportation process, but also a revitalized downtown Portland, and we can all be very proud of that. Scott talked about the private investment, the business investment, and that's all very true, but I'd also like to accentuate to you that the community was also behind this. The Citizen Advisory Committee was made up of almost every stakeholder you could imagine: neighborhood associations, disabled community, bicycle community, pedestrian community, businesses, retail, and the like. And I want you to know that all of them are very proud of what has happened downtown Portland. We worked hard at everything from the design of the weave to what's going to be on the streets to the placement and the design of the shelters. And everybody, I believe, is very happy with the output. Over 5 years ago, I spoke to you in favor of the LID. Again, I'm asking you to pass the LID and be very proud of what has happened. And the next step is on to Milwaukee. Thank you.
Thank you for your service and heading up the Citizens Advisory Committee. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
So we will be, per the amending ordinance, the city auditor's office will be adjusting the assessment roll to reflect the change in exemptions. And then we'll be adding one more exhibit, which is some housekeeping related info. So
thank you.
We'll be back next week. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. All right. This moves to now. I think we can move this to second reading and a vote next week. Can you please read the title for the consent agenda item that was pulled, Emergency Ordinance 1397?
Authorize a contract with CH2M Hill for design services for Powell Butte Reservoir Number 2, Phase 2.
Commissioner Leonard? Commissioner?
I did not pull it.
Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you, and I pulled it because I was so impressed with the answers that I got from Commissioner Leonard's office that I wanted to make sure that citizens understand what's being done here and that it's a good thing, and also to get the information out. Many of us have received a lot of emails with concerns about the reservoirs and these storage tanks, and so I felt it was helpful for David Schaff to give us this information for us and for the public.
Good morning. I'm David Schaff. I'm the director of the Port and Water Bureau. As Commissioner Fritz mentioned, she had a number of questions, which our staff provided answers to her before or last night, and I'm going to go through them. Just as a reminder, back in 1895, Mount Tabor was the hub of the Portland Water Bureau's distribution system. That changed in the 1980s when Powell Butte became the hub of our distribution system with the installation or the building of the original 50 million gallon reservoir. Today's action is moving us farther down the direction to the realization of the second of the two 50 million gallon reservoirs in our system. The first question that we were asked to respond to was, how was the RFP proposal processed? The formal RFP was utilized in this contract in accordance with the City Council rules and codes on professional services. The RFP was posted and advertised on our e-website from April through June. Per city code, it was also advertised in the Daily Journal of Commerce. In May of 2009, we held a mandatory pre-submittal meeting where 42 consultants were in attendance. Following the meeting, we had four addenda that we issued, and proposals were received in June of 2009. There were two bidders on the solicitation, CH2M Hill and Tetra Tech. There were a total number of 211 firms that viewed the RFP on eBid. 18 were MBEs, 14 were WBEs, and 179 were non-certified firms. How was the amount of the contract calculated was the next question. Our total project budget for this is $138 million. The revised phase one, which is where we are today, starting to actually dig the hole that the reservoir is going to be in, is $10 million. Phase two, which is where we are, the design and construction of the actual reservoir, is $128 million. The phase two construction budget is approximately $115 million, and this design PTE contract is 7% of that. Typically, this value is around 10 to 15%. What that tells us is that we're getting a really good deal, partly because of the economy and the fact that we have a very well-qualified consultant team. Now, the original estimate for design services for this was $7.5 million. CH2M Hill provided a proposal amount of $5.4 million. After final negotiations and some additional scope of work that we added, the final negotiated amount of the contract is $8.4 million. Why the difference here? How did we go from 5.4 to 7.5 and then 8.5? PTE solicitations identify just a proposed scope of services. The proposer puts together a team and their interpretation of the scope and the fees based on that interpretation. Once they're selected through the contract negotiations, the Water Bureau compares their scope of work to the proposer's scope of work as they understood it and adjusts the fees based on the understanding of what's involved in that scope. We then changed or increased the estimate from $7.5 million to $8.5 million to include some additional work that we've determined needs to be done in order to resolve a problem, a shutdown problem, related to construction of the conduits near Powell Butte. The shutdown is required during construction when we're ready to connect the reservoir to the new public or to the public water system. So this additional scope includes some additional pipings and an intertie, and then intertie is where we connect all three of the conduits together coming from Bull Run. The additional piping ensures that we are able to maintain our service level to not only our wholesale customers, but to those customers who live at that 530-foot elevation level at the distribution level. That's where Palbute is. That's at the 530 elevation. So this 530 elevation area is where our retail customers living on the east side of town in higher elevations are fed directly from Palbute. So, for instance, the homes along Pal Butte, those along Clatsop Butte, and the customers that are served directly from the conduits east of Pal Butte. When we started looking at the shutdown that we were going to need to do on the conduits near 162nd for the reservoir, we discovered that the existing configuration we have has problems for folks living in the higher elevations, particularly those east of town. If we do absolutely nothing, their water pressure will drop to below the 20% PSI minimum that we're required to provide. And in some cases, they will have either they'll have no water at all and no water for protection. These connections could potentially take us several weeks to resolve. So one solution, and the reason why we've changed the scope, is to add an intertie between the conduits and the portion of the Conduit 5 pipeline that's included in the proposed project. Now, this isn't just our retail customers. This also has a huge impact on our wholesale customers east of Pal Butte, primarily Rockwood and Gresham, and any future ones we may have. The current shutdown, without the changes that we're proposing, results in a 40 PSI drop in pressure. We've done this before for a much shorter period of time, and we've caused significant problems for Gresham and Rockwood in providing water to their customers. And this is going to be a much bigger problem for a longer shutdown required for the work. So the whole scope of the project has changed a little bit, has increased a little bit. It caused the cost of the project to go up by a significant amount. And that's how we've come to a negotiated scope and price. Now, our confidence in being able to deliver the design package for this price is rated at high. Our confidence level for the overall project, which hasn't been designed yet, is still at the moderate level based on the criteria that the council passed in Resolution 36-430, which requires us to assign a level of confidence rating to the project cost estimates when we come to you with contracts. So during the contract negotiations, the successful proposer agreed with our new scope and committed to completing the work for the negotiated price, which is where we give this a high confidence level. Why was this contractor awarded the contract? That's the next question we were asked. We put together an evaluation committee to evaluate the proposals, the two proposals we received. The committee consisted of seven members. They were included one community member, that was Tamara Dickinson. She's the co-chair of Friends of the Pal Butte, and she's been very intimately involved with us in discussions with the Water Bureau over the last couple of years on this project. We anticipate that Tamara will be very involved with us for the next several years until this project is completed. It also included a Parks Bureau employee, George
Lazavoy,
thank you, landscape architect with the Parks Bureau and their capital projects group, and five Water Bureau employees from engineering and operations. For the purpose of scoring their proposals, each of the committee members evaluated the proposals in accordance with the criteria and point factors listed in the RFP. The proposer with the highest overall point total is considered the successful proposer, and the criteria included the following: project team and proposer's capabilities, project approach and understanding, diversity in employment and contracting, and proposed cost. And the qualifications and team understanding were the most critical. The committee compared each proposer's response to the evaluation criteria. Based on the criteria, the committee deemed the CH2M Hill was the most responsive responsible proposer. There were a total of 700 points possible. CH had a final score of 616, and Tetra Tech had a final score of 547.
How many points total?
700.
Oh, 700. Okay.
CH scored 616 and Tetra 547. Total contract is $8.4 million. CH is using 11 subconsultants, nine of which are state-certified MWESB firms. Their firms are estimated to receive $1.4 million in work, which is 17% of the total contract. Finally, Commissioner Fritz noticed that there is a land use review scheduled for March of 2010, which will be another opportunity for citizens to weigh in and comment. For your information, there will be more than that opportunity. We are currently going through project advisory committee process on how the facility is going to look and feel and the park improvements. We had our first meeting last night, and we have six more of these working meetings planned. The public's going to be, is invited to all of these meetings, of course, and there will be an open house meeting in November to discuss some of the alternatives that we're going to be looking at. In addition, we'll continue to meet with neighborhood associations, homeowner groups, special interest groups throughout the design and construction of the project. You, of course, are welcome anytime to come up. We will be taking one of the state representatives out for a tour of Powell Butte, and we'll probably actually go inside the existing reservoir at the end of the month so that they know what it is that we're building, because they're pretty special projects, and clearly they are the hub of our system and the heart of our system. If you have any other questions, I have Mike Stuhr, the Chief Engineer of the Water Bureau, and Teresa Elliott, our project manager, here to answer questions.
Thank you. I don't have any more questions, and I think my colleagues can see why I wanted the public to have this information. It's very thorough. I'll just add that I, as an elected official, expect to work as many hours as I possibly can during the day, and I know my colleagues subscribe to that too. But last night I was working at 10:30 at night, and Teresa responded to one of my emails after the meeting that she had attended. So thank you so much for your diligence on this.
She's a star.
All right, unless there's additional council discussion, and I'll ask if there's anyone that wishes to testify on this item. If not, it's an emergency ordinance. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Leonard?
When I ran for my first reelection after first being elected to the council in 2004, I attracted 13 opponents who were not so fond of my approach to governing. At that same point, Mayor Katz, who I had the privilege to serve with when I was first elected, decided not to run for re-election, which caused, of course, there then to be candidates who would otherwise not have run to run, amongst whom was a man by the name of Tom Potter. During Tom Potter's campaign, I was surprised one day to pick up a local newspaper and see that he had endorsed six of the 13 people that were running against me. When asked why he endorsed those six, he said, "That's all that asked." So I thought, well, this will be interesting if he gets elected. And of course he was. He decided upon entering office in January of 2009 to do something that, in my memory, no other mayor had done, which was to keep all the bureaus within the city, which of course is any mayor's right, including this one's, within his portfolio for 6 months. And at the end of that 6 months, then July of 2005, he called each of us in, Dan, myself, then Commissioner Sten, and Commissioner Saltz, and Commissioner Adams, and asked us what assignments we would like. To this day, I don't know what my colleagues said. I do know what I said. I said, "You can assign a number of bureaus to me, but if you want to prove that you still harbor some grudge against me, assign me the Portland Water Bureau." Now, David knows that. I don't know Michael knows that. I'm sure certain Teresa may not know that. And the reason I said that was not because I had some ill will towards the Portland Water Bureau. I'm a politician. I have to run for election. I have to have people like me and think I'm actually doing good things, which means the bureaus that I have actually have to be doing well. And I will tell you, in July 2005, the Portland Water Bureau was not doing well. Can you say computerized billing system, anyone? How about covering the reservoirs? That ring any bells? That's all I thought of. I didn't know anybody at the Water Bureau, had no experience other than working at fires for 25 years when somebody from the Water Bureau would show up to do something to the mains to increase our water pressure at big fires. That I knew, but that was about it. And then when I turned my water on, I always got a nice, clean glass of water. Knew that. So Tom Potter called me because I was out of town, and I was actually sitting by my phone waiting for the phone call. We had an appointment for him to call me. And at the appointed hour, he didn't call me right at that moment. Anybody that knows me knows I have a little compulsive, obsessive part of me. So at 10:01, the phone didn't ring. At 10:02, the phone didn't ring. I started pacing. At 10:03, the phone didn't ring. I once started doing jogs, standing still. I started doing push-ups. And at about 10:10, the phone rang. Picked up the phone. He said, Randy, little chuckle, I've assigned you the Portland Water Bureau. Okay, Tom, appreciate it. Thanks. Talk to you later. And I thought, well, if I'm going to get this assignment, then I'm going to fix what's wrong. As a result, I appointed the person that I had the most confidence in, that I believed could lead the Portland Water Bureau from where it was to where I knew it needed to be. And he's sitting still right in front of me. And then I started getting in and doing what I do, talking to the management staff, talking to the employees. And then I made a decision that I didn't want to hand to David the awful task of making some of the changes that needed to be made. So I personally sat down with the top management team that made decisions that caused Michael Sturr, for example, to be then the new chief engineer of the Water Bureau, amongst other changes. And what you saw before you here today is a result of David's focused and hard work, Michael Sturr's focused and hard work, because that presentation you heard would not have happened in July of 2005. It might have been humiliating for whoever the commissioner in charge was at that point. I have absolutely total and complete confidence in the men and women of the Portland Water Bureau because of the results that David, because of the changes David has led. I have absolute and complete confidence that at the drop of the hat, you can ask them any questions, anywhere, at any forum, and they will requite themselves and their charge to protect the public and provide the best drinking water in the world at any moment. I'm not surprised, but grateful that Teresa answered her email at 10 o'clock at night. I'm not surprised, but grateful at the presentation I heard today, and I hadn't heard it before. But I didn't have to ask, because what you heard here today is what they do every day. And I'm humbled to now have the Water Bureau. I would say the same thing to Sam in the reverse that I said to Tom. If you want to prove to me that you harbor some grudge, Sam, take the Portland Water Bureau from me. Because we have built the best water system in the United States. I would stack them up against anybody, and I would just say New Orleans and Katrina as example. So thank you for each of your work. I am honored to work with you. You do outstanding work day in and day out that often doesn't get heralded because people as perceptive as Commissioner Fritz doesn't give you the forum within which to make the presentation. So they called me last night and said, do you mind if we explain in detail what we did? I said, I insist that you do that. This is your opportunity to explain what you all do and demonstrate. And we didn't ask for it. It was asked of us. So thank you very much. Go forth and continue doing good work.
Thank you. Just as a reminder, Teresa is one of the people that responded to Hurricane Katrina.
Thank you, Fritz. I knew that.
Carla?
Vote.
We're in the
vote.
We're in the middle of the vote.
Aye. Thank you for reminding me.
You need your vote on this one. Fritz. Well, thank you, Commissioner Leonard, and thank you to staff. This is an opportunity to explain to citizens the good work that you're doing. And I want to highlight particularly it's an $8 million contract, and there are 73% minority women emerging small businesses in the subcontracting. And sometimes we get contracts here that have a similarly high proportion of subcontracting work, but you find out that there really wasn't that much subcontracted work. But as David said, there's 17% here. So it's an example of when the city is able to push for those firms to get their fair share, that we're able to do that. And so I particularly commend you for that. And again, thank you for your work on this. Aye.
Fish?
Thank you for an outstanding presentation, as always. Aye.
Saltzman?
Good work. Aye.
Adams?
Great work to the Leonard Water Bureau team. Aye. Moves to second reading, right?
No, it's emergency.
Oh, sorry, emergency. We just passed it. Sorry. All right. That gets us to, can you please read the title for the report, Council Item 1402.
Reappoint Pat Mobley, Robin Boyce, Jim McConnell, and Ray Espana to the Housing and Community Development Commission for a term to expire June 30, 2010.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, this was intended to be filed as a consent item. It showed up on the regular agenda. I sent out an email to all my colleagues, I think yesterday, notifying them of this and asking if they had any questions or concerns. We received no responses back. This is pro forma, and these are four outstanding citizens who serve on our commission, whose terms will be extended, if the council wishes, through June 30th of 2010. And as on a parallel track, the new Housing Bureau Director, Margaret Van Vliet, is assessing what role the commission will play going forward in the life of the new Housing Bureau. So I urge your favorable vote.
So I'll entertain a motion to accept.
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the report mentioned in 1402. Is there anyone that wishes to testify on this matter?
Beth Kay is here to answer any questions, but this, again, is a pro forma, Mayor.
Veronica. Good morning, Veronica. Welcome back to the City Council Chambers.
Good morning, Veronica.
We're on a friendly basis. As long as she keeps putting out food. That's a joke. That's a good one. Okay, whose turn, Chris? Your turn.
Okay, no,
good. I'll just say something extemporaneously. Put this thing down here. Okay, good. You all know Veronica. That's me from Portland State Community Health Education, graduate 2005, public health. And I also volunteer for HCDC since 1998, which is a long time. I've been going and looking at HCDC through the progress through that time, and I really like and the way they track the housing problem. From homeless coming to Portland, I can see a really direct change there in the amount of input and data collection and fabrication of new housing that they have done over the years, to include minority groups, to include people who are transvestites, to include gay men that have been abused, to include people coming in from other countries to this country without any money, really. Always inclusive. It's like the Ellis Island Portland, really, in a way. When they say, give me, you're tired, you're poor, you're hungry, they've come to Portland, and HCDC has always made a way for them on some level, so I want to support that. And I like the characters that you nominated. They're all nice people, and Beth's such a nice lady here. Don't you like redheaded people?
We're very fond of Beth.
Yes, we are. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Veronica, for your testimony. You. Appreciate it. Carla, can you please call the roll on the motion to accept this report?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I'm actually glad that this was on the regular agenda because it gives us the opportunity to celebrate, as Veronica just did, the good work that the Housing and Development Community Development Commission does, and also to thank these four volunteers who are putting in a lot of good time. There were two folks, Julie Vigeland and Linda Robinson, who were appointed to the Parks Board on the consent agenda. And so I want to highlight that we do appreciate all of the good service and the way that staff and citizens work together. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1402 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, Council Calendar Item 1403?
Authorize application to the U.S. Department of Energy for a $300,000 grant for Recovery Art Local Energy Assurance Planning Initiative to coordinate and consolidate local, regional, and state energy emergency management efforts.
This authorizes me to apply for federal funding on to do planning that will allow us to respond to emergencies in a manner that prioritizes the restoration of energy sites. And it is a effort between the city and regional emergency planning jurisdictions. So, any questions? Anyone here wish to testify on item number 1403?
Do you have anything you'd like to add, Patty?
Thank you. Patty Reuter, Portland Office of Emergency Management. I just wanted to clarify that we are asking for $260,341 instead of $300,000. We've refined our budget. And also that this project will further unite public utilities and industry and urban and environmental planning with emergency management.
So does that mean I need to amend this?
No.
Well, it authorizes only $300,000, so.
$260.
Right. Does it say up to 260?
Or up to 300?
I don't think it says up to 300.
It says 300,000.
It says in the amount of 300,000. We need to amend it?
If you would like to, you could amend it, or you could take it as a sense of the council that the intent is a grant application of up to.
So I'm going to take it, unless there are objections, a sense of the council that the amount is as described. All right. Anyone wish to testify on emergency ordinance 1403? Carla, would you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Mayor Adams, Patty Ruta, and Carmen Merlo, the director of PON, the Portland Office of Emergency Management. And I want to emphasize that the 2007 Critical Infrastructure Protection Plan identified that energy is the most important resource of infrastructure because everything else depends on it. So it's very important that we're doing this. And again, thanks to you and Mayor Adams for going after more stimulus money from the federal government. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1403 is approved. Can you please read the title for purchasing report, item number 1404?
Accept bid of Moore Excavation, Inc. for the West Side Header Relocation Phase 1 project for $1,963,045.
Good morning, Ms. Moody. Welcome back.
Thank you.
What do we have here?
This is the purchasing agent report recommending the low bidder in the amount of $1,963,045 to Moore Excavation, and they have a 73.3% MWSB participation in the subcontracting on this project.
Questions from council? Does anyone wish to testify?
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
We said it's only 7% of the project.
Right. So the total project amount is around 6% MBE, which is still pretty decent.
Yes.
Any additional discussion on this from council? Do I have a motion to accept the purchasing report?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Unless someone would like to testify on council calendar item 1404. Mm-hmm. Seeing none, please call the vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Congratulations on being appointed the permanent purchasing agent.
Thank you.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
I also wanted to congratulate you on becoming chief procurement officer.
There
I believe
you go.
Is the official title.
That Thank sounds, you. Yes,
that
title.
Sounds pretty highfalutin to me. So congratulations. I've enjoyed working with you, and we'll continue to.
Thank you.
Aye.
Adams.
Well, you need to get your sash from Jeff Bear, Chief.
Okay, I'll steal that from him when I see him this afternoon.
It's in a drawer somewhere. Congratulations.
Aye.
1404 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 1405?
Pay claim of Angela Kolsky.
Good morning, Mayor. Commissioners, Randy Stenquist with the City's Risk Management Office. Approval of the ordinance before you will authorize a $27,500 settlement of a claim against the city from Angela Kolsky, who became involved in a sexual relationship with a Portland police officer in 2007. The events surrounding this matter have been detailed in our confidential memo, which we sent last month, which I trust you've read. As soon as the police bureau became aware of the allegations of the officer's involvement, command staff swiftly and decisively began an investigation into the matter to determine if the officer's actions were unlawful, inappropriate, or in violation of police bureau policies. As a result of this investigation, the officer was initially placed on administrative leave to prevent any further contact with the public, and then approximately 8 weeks later, he was indicted on multiple counts, criminal counts, by a grand jury. At his criminal trial in January 2008, Officer Jason Falk pled guilty to one count of official misconduct, resigned from the police bureau, and gave up his law enforcement certification. As part of his plea deal, Falk agreed to undergo a post-employment debriefing by a Portland Police Bureau psychologist, by which the bureau hoped to learn more about the underpinnings of his aberrant behavior. The bureau hopes to use this type of debriefing process to improve its pre-employment screening of new recruits. The Bureau has also considered performing similar evaluations of officers later in their careers. Officer Falk's actions while in uniform were a clear violation of Bureau policy and state law. Risk Management worked aggressively with Ms. Kolsky's attorney to craft a settlement agreement that removed the city from any potential litigation that might arise from these events and eliminated significant legal defense costs. It is our hope that the settlement will provide Ms. Kolsky with some degree of closure from this incident, and we wish her the best.
Initial discussion from counsel?
Well, I would just like to add on behalf of the Police Bureau, and I think the entire city, we are very sorry for the reprehensible actions of Mr. Falk. And we do extend our sincere appreciation to Ms. Kolsky and our apologies for what happened.
Thank you, Commissioner. Has anyone signed up to testify?
No one signed up. Dan?
Is there anyone wishes to testify? Good morning, Mr. Handelman. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Dan Handelman. I'm with Portland Cop Watch, and I'm going to read to you a memo that we sent around to all of you and to Chief Sizer several months ago, first just saying that a story broke last week about an officer who had to resign from the force for allegedly having inappropriate contact with prostitutes and other women while on duty and after work. That officer's name is Murdoch, and he resigned just a few days ago. So that this settlement coming so short on the heels of that announcement brings to light that this is the fifth officer in 3 years who has left the force because of sexual misconduct. So this memo that we sent in June said, Chief Sizer, in light of the recent arrest of Officer Wild for sexual misconduct, we wanted to reiterate a few points we've made to see where the Bureau stands on these issues. Especially since this is at least the fourth Portland officer charged with sexual misconduct in the last few years after Officers Wood, Conkey, and Falk, the Bureau should be looking for just as seriously into gender discrimination issues as they are at racial profiling. Then we added number two, the police who get fired and charged are always guilty of lying, cheating, stealing, or sexual misconduct, but never excessive force. While the city's paid out millions for wrongful deaths and shootings since 1993, and then I list a number of these payouts, including the family of Damon Lowry and Raymond Guerter, which were both over $500,000, no officer has been held accountable for a shooting. The officers who shot Gerald Grattan and Dennis Young were both fired but reinstated at arbitration, as was the officer who shot Kendra James, so the jury ruled in the city's favor in her case. Please let us know any progress on the gender parity issues and holding officers accountable in questionable deadly force cases. We have not heard back from the chief about this at all. We did meet with Commissioner Saltzman last week and actually raised this question about having training about gender parity issues and gender power dynamics that we think is just as important as the crisis intervention team training that's going on and the racial profiling training and other measures that the chief has taken forward. And we think that these gender issues should be addressed through training. The commissioner told us he thought that screening out bad apples, as it were, before they get on the force was the best way to go. But since there's 850 or so men on the police force, and even women probably could tend to learn something from this kind of training, we hope that this council will consider directing some kind of gender bias training for the police. I would just add on this particular case, the amount of money seems awfully low for what reads like a rape of a woman who had diminished mental capacity by an on-duty officer, but we understand that she didn't want to have to go through the trauma of going to trial. So thank you for your time.
Dan, I just have to say, as you recall, you and I had discussions a little over a year ago about the contemplation of Mayor Adams to appoint me commissioner in charge of police. One of the things that Chief Sizer criticized me for was giving you the benefit of the doubt. She personally told me that. I've never told you that before. I told her the reason I did it. I thought you came off as balanced and rational and reasonable. I'm really disappointed in what you said here today. It strikes me as you have characterize the police bureau in a way where they can never win with you. And I did not think that would be your approach. The result of the misconduct, which we are dealing with here, which is what is at issue, not shootings, not beatings, but this issue was the man was fired. You, in your own testimony, recognized others had been fired. which tells me that though, as you well know, I don't agree with the police bureau or the chief on a number of issues, they handle these issues appropriately. And I'm very disappointed that you sought to cast a wider net, to cast a pall over the bureau and, by reference, Commissioner Saltzman, inappropriately. It disappoints me because I do often listen to you and I'm often persuaded by you and I'm often moved to vote a way I didn't think I was going to move when you testify, and this didn't help our relationship.
Well, you're not misunderstanding me, Mr. Commissioner Leonard. I'm not saying that every male officer on the police bureau has sexual misconduct brewing under the surface or that they're somehow misogynistic. I'm saying the same way we live in a culture that is steeped in racism, we're steeped in a culture that is steeped in misogyny and negative portrayals of women.
Then you should have said that.
Well, that's what I meant. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry.
That's
what you,
that's
clear
what you
my
should
testimony.
Have said because you did the police bureau a deep injustice with your original testimony.
I apologize for the misunderstanding. That's what I meant by it. And I hope that you'll understand, and I hope that you agree with that, and that there should be some kind of training around that.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Haldeman. Anybody else wish to testify in this matter? If not,
this is kind of a loaded question, but I do have some police experience since I was Wilson.
So, Veronica, I need you to give
Veronica
us your
again.
First and last name.
Hi. Veronica here from PSC Public Health and Community Health, and also alumni 2005. I think this is a real hot one. That's what IPR is all about, independent police review. Dr. Hess, Mike Hess, was a buddy of mine from Public Health going back 20 years, and we saw a lot of stuff with other cities developing over this. Before anybody makes any judgment, of course, these things go to review, and it is a real, real, real big question. Blanket statements are hard. Once uttered, the words come out and they come back different. What I wanted to say is, generally speaking, Portland Police Bureau does respond on time. They're good men. They're all chosen for their qualities. Current Police Chief Roseanne Sizer has my full support. She's been in support of battered women in Rose Haven. All of her remarks are always appropriate, and I don't believe half of what they say about her out in the field. I think to be the police chief of a big city, you have to endure that. And I just take umbrage with everything that you hear going back and forth. You can believe 2% of the rumors, really, that you hear, and even that 2%, about 0.5%. So generally speaking, we always support the officers in blue. That's the first line in defense for the city. So that's my point.
Thank you, Veronica. Appreciate it. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz.
I remember that Chief Sizer wanted to call the racial profiling report bias-based policing report, and she recognized in the preamble to that indeed there are gender issues and other forms of bias other than racial profiling. So I commend her for her being aware of that and for the work that the police bureau is doing and for Commissioner Saltzman taking this issue very seriously. Aye.
Fish.
I want to say, as someone who used to make, whose career prior to public service was in bringing Title VII sexual harassment claims in civil court, the facts in this case are chilling. And a comment was made about the size of the settlement. What gives me some satisfaction that justice will be done here is that the plaintiff is represented by the Steenson firm, which is a first-rate civil rights firm. In fact, I believe they're representing the Chassis. They're involved in the Chassis case. So there's no question in my mind that the plaintiff has adequate counsel. What I know from my work, though, is no amount of money can actually provide recompense for claims of this sort. But I am encouraged, and I want to just associate myself with Commissioner Lenda's remarks, with the diligence with which the police bureau addressed this problem and the corrective action taken. There is no place in our police bureau for an officer like this. And if police officers who don't understand that while wearing the uniform, they cannot engage in sexual activity, consensual or otherwise, should not be in our bureau. So I appreciate the briefing that I received on this, and I compliment the commissioner in charge, Dan Saltzman, and his bureau for the way this has been addressed. And while I think we all wish that we were not having to vote on a claim of this sort and that it had never happened, since it did happen, this seems like a reasonable settlement. I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for his work on this painful issue and add my apology with his to this matter. And I vote aye.
Thank you.
1405 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, Council Calendar Item 1406?
Authorize the Director of the Bureau of Environmental Services to execute agreements with the Port of Portland as part of the Portsmouth Force Main Project Number E06902.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This agreement authorizes the Portsmouth Force Main, part of our combined sewage overflow control project, to cross property owned by the Port of Portland. So this is simply a right-of-way agreement.
Exactly. Questions from the City Council? Anyone wish to testify on emergency ordinance item number 1406? Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I thank Patty Nelson for her assistance answering questions and events from my staff. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1406 is approved. Unless there are council objections, I would like to continue, just a heads up for our calendar, and I'd like to continue 1411 to the following week's agenda. That's the matter relating to the Gateway Master Street Plan.
Which item?
1411?
1411.
That would be the afternoon session.
Oh. Yeah, just so you, so you can plan your calendars accordingly.
Well, I was, you know, I stayed up late last night reading that, and I am deeply disappointed if I don't have an opportunity to.
Well, okay. The last thing
but
I
if
want
you
to do
if you want to
is to disappoint you, Commissioner Leonard, without, so I will get a panel
objection.
Together.
Hearing no objection, it is set over, Mayor.
1411 is set over. Can
again,
you please read the
title
for second reading ordinance, item number 1407? It's a miracle it's only 1130.
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to amend a legal description for a temporary construction easement and to acquire said easement for the Balch Consolidation Conduit Project number E05510 through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Well, I have a few things I want to say before I vote. And I will say aye. We are adjourned until 2 p.m. Sorry, recess till 2 p.m. Do you have a few seconds, Nick?
Yeah.
Just.
I'm too busy for you, by the way. It's lucky you asked, Nick, because I got things to do.
I can only imagine.
You know, mishmash with you.
You established yourself today.
I did.
Again.